السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are on the fourth of the elements of the seerah which we need to inculcate in our lives, and that is the world view that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained and proclaimed and preached and practiced. Charity is a universally accepted value and is lauded and praised in all religious and secular societies. However, everywhere except in Islam, charity is voluntary and is left to the individual to give as much as he or she wishes. Where it is mandated, it is supposed to be given to the church or to priests. The tithe in Christianity and the custom of feeding Brahmin priests in Hinduism illustrate this point. Islam came as a religion which established a direct connection between God and man, between the Creator and His creatures, and decreed that there was no need for a priest or church to make this connection. In Islam, prayer, salah, is every Muslim's personal responsibility which he must learn how to perform. He can't leave it to a priest to pray on his behalf and pay him for that. Like prayer, like salah, Islam made charity, zakat, a personal responsibility and a part of the creed of the aqidah itself, and decreed that it must go to those in need. Zakat is not given to any church or priest because Islam has no church and no clergy, no pope or pontiff, nobody who speaks on behalf of Allah, and no representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. The only one who spoke on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, and who spoke what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to speak, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the last and final one of the messengers and the anbiya, of the anbiya and the rusul, after whom there is no other nabi and there is no other rasul. Even where zakat is given to an institution which collects it from people and disburses it on their behalf, it remains the responsibility of the individual to ensure that it goes to those who are eligible to receive it and is not used for any other purpose. If the individual does not ensure this, then the individual's responsibility of paying zakat is still liable, and the duty of the zakat being paid has not been fulfilled. In addition to compulsory charity, which is zakat, Islam places a huge emphasis on voluntary charity, sadaqah. And the Quran mentions it in highly honorable terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ وَلَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is it that he will lend to Allah a beautiful loan, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it manifold to his credit in repaying, and he will have besides that a good reward, which refers to Jannah. Imagine the owner of all that exists, which includes us, is encouraging us to give him a loan. How can we give a loan to the one who owns us and owns all that we own? And then Allah says that he will return that to us, not simply greater by a percentage, but many times, and will give us Jannah as a reward. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of emphasizing the importance of charity. And this is the difference between the world view today, which is what we call the New World Order, which is a world view that is based on only one word, which is profit, and the world order or the world view of Islam, which is based on one word, which is compassion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place, مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means the likeness or the example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like the example of a grain of corn. It grows 7 years and each year has 100 grains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives manifold increase to whom He pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sufficient for His creatures' needs. And He knows everything. Let us reflect on this ayah. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the reward of charity in the form of an example, mentioning a reward that is 700 times what the person donated, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His majestic style shows us that He doesn't count when He gives, and that the numbers are only for us to understand. Because He says, He ends the ayah with, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives manifold increase to whom He pleases, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sufficient for His creatures, all knower. وَاللَّهُ يُضَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized charity even more when He warned us to spend in charity from what He gave us before the day we die and meet Him. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَعٌ وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Which means, Allah said, O you who believe, spend of that which we have provided for you before a day comes when there will be no bargaining, no friendship, no intercession. And it is the disbelievers who are the wrongdoers, the zalimun. In my view, it is symbolic that this ayah is followed by Ayatul Kursi, which speaks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and majesty and is His finest introduction. This is to point out to us that it is for our own benefit if we spend in charity, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Samad, He is above all needs. Linking charity to the Akhirah draws our attention to our own ending and encourages us to prepare for that and to invest in the Akhirah. We have the excellent examples set by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to follow, because they are the standard which we will be judged against. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, one of the earliest Muslims and a man greatly loved by Rasulullah SAW, was very unhappy living in Damascus, where he saw people oriented towards the life of this world at the expense of the Akhirah. This was in the Khilafah of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and the governor of Syria was based in Damascus, and Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu went to stay there, and he was very upset with whatever he saw there. And so he said to Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, who was the governor of Syria. He used to go to his majlis and he would criticize him very publicly, and so on and so forth. I wonder what he would say if he attended one of our famous Hyderabadi weddings today. He objected to the ostentatious lifestyles of the Muslims and criticized Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and others. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu complained to Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, who invited Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu to come to Medina and live in Medina with him. When he arrived there, he was not happy with the changes he saw in Medina either. And he asked Uthman radiallahu anhu permission for himself to go and live in Al-Rabat, which is a small village on the east of Medina. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu offered to give him land and a pension, but Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu refused and lived with his wife in a small mud house with a thatched roof, with a few sheep, goats and camels as his resource. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu stayed there away from people, holding on to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. A man visited him once, and when he found his house almost bare, he asked Abu Dharr Ghifari, "Where are your possessions?" Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu said, "We have a house yonder. We have a house over there, meaning in the hereafter, to which we send the best of our possessions. The man understood what Abu Dharr Ghifari meant, and he said, but you must have some possessions as long as you are in this abode. Abu Dharr Ghifari says, the owner of this abode will not leave us in it. When Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sent Abu Dharr Ghifari 300 gold dinars, he returned the money and says, does the Amir not find anyone worthier of this than me? Someone saw him in Medina once with a robe over his shoulder. The man said to him, how can you live with nothing? Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu said, I have this robe which I am wearing. I have an extra one that I wear on Fridays. I have a donkey on which to ride, and I have a goat that gives milk. What more does a man need? Ajib, I mean, just think, see the example of Sahaba. Now, this is true that the example of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu is a very high bar to reach, but definitely it serves as a marker for us, because our lives seem to be completely reduced to running a race behind a lure. One of my Fajr reminders, which will come to you in the next couple of days, is about a greyhound race in Dubai. And if you see, if you know anything about greyhound or whippet racing, the dogs run behind a lure. So there is a lure which is on a boom. And the word lure itself, I mean, there are enough, I mean, all of you understand English, obviously. What is a lure? A lure is a temptation that takes you to something bad. Right? The connotation of the word lure. Nobody said, I lure you to the masjid. You say, I lure you to the disco. Right? I lure you to the bar. A lure, the word itself means that it's a temptation, and it takes you to an evil destination. Now, this is what the thing is called which the dogs chase. And as I said in the Fajr reminder, the interesting thing about the difference between a dog race and a horse race or a camel race is that in the horse race and the camel race, there is a jockey who is sitting on top of the animal and who is driving this animal forward. Towards the end of the race, he's whipping him and so on. But a dog race, there's no one riding the dog. The dog is running on his own. The dog is chasing the lure, and the dog is chasing the lure. You must see how those dogs run. It's absolutely amazing how the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dog puts its entire heart and soul into that run. And there have been instances where some dogs will just die on the track. The heart bursts with the effort. Right? Chasing what? Chasing a lure. That lure, even if the dog catches it, it's made of leather, it's made of paper, it's made of cloth. There's nothing in it. I think this is the finest example, if you want to see, of what Allah said when He said, "Innamal hayatu dunya illa mataul urur," that this dunya is a figment of the imagination, that is deception. We are like that. Please forgive me for comparing you to dogs, but I'm comparing myself as well, because we are like this. We are like dogs running in a race behind a lure. Completely insane. This is what we have reduced our lives to, and this is what we learn from the seerah and from the lives of the Sahaba, to stop for a minute and take a look and ask yourself, where am I going? Allah asked this question. Faina tathabun. Allah said, where are you going? I think we need to ask ourselves this question. We get excited about worthless things. We chase worthless things. And just like you would ask the dog, what if you even caught that lure? What if you got what you were chasing? It's worthless. And then remember, just as in the dog race, the lure is designed never to be caught. Because if the lure is caught by the dog, the race ends. The race cannot end. The race has to continue, because the real people who are benefiting from the race, they are benefiting as long as you are running. So they have to keep you running. There is no way that any dog in the world is ever going to catch the lure, because the lure is on a mechanical boom, and that can be accelerated to any speed you want. So you are running in a race which by design you have to fail. There is no way that you can ever win that race. Why would you be running? The dog can say, well, after all, I'm a dog. There's only that much of intelligence. What about us? What about us? Seriously, ask this question. One day, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, a man came to him and he said, I want to serve you. I want to be your servant. And I also want to learn from you. So, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu was a very cut and dried kind of a man. So he told him, I'm not interested in a servant, I don't want anybody, and I'm allergic to stool, so buzz off. So the man, of course, he persisted and he begged and pleaded and so on. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu said to him, I will accept you in my service on one condition. And that condition is that you will obey me unquestioningly. You will obey me without question. Whatever I tell you to do, you will do. The man said, no problem. I mean, I came to serve you. I came to be your student. So obeying you is obvious. I mean, naturally, I will obey you. So he was with Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu. He would look after his sheep and his camels and so on and so forth, and, you know, serve him, and he would sit with him and learn from him. Then one day, some people came to Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu from a village, a habitation far away from Medina, and they were in a very bad state. They were all, in tatters, and they had obviously been starving, so there were signs of extreme hunger. And they came and begged him. They said, please give us some food. We have no food, we have nothing. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu called this man and he said, go to my herd of camels, find the best camel and bring it here and slaughter it and give it to these people. So this man went. When he looked at the herd of camels, he found the stud bull was the best camel. Best lineage, pedigree, so on and so on. And in prime condition. And then the man thought that Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu wants to slaughter this animal and feed it to the people. So, whether it is the best camel or the second best camel, how does it matter? Meat is meat. So, he thought, he said, what is the point in killing an animal which has the potential to, you know, to sire very good animals and to increase the value of the herd and so on and so forth. So he picked the next best. He brought that camel. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu said to him, do you remember the condition on which I agreed that you should be in my service? He said, yes. He said, what's the condition? He said that I should obey you completely. He said, all right. The second question. He said, the camel that you brought me, in your opinion, is this the best camel in the herd? Now, Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu is ruling out issues. So, first issue is, do you remember what you told me or maybe you forgot? He said, I remember. Second issue is, he is seeing whether this man made a mistake or meaning maybe he doesn't know camels, right? He may not be an expert, so he does not have the ability to figure out which is the better animal. So, the man said, no, this is not the best camel, this is the second best camel. So now the second point is also ruled out. The man knows, he has the knowledge to pick the best animal. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu said to him, take this animal back, bring the best camel. He said, which is the best one? He said, that one. He said, bring that camel, slaughter it, give it to those people, and then you get out. You leave my service, you are sacked. So the man said, before you sack me, I just want to explain to you why I did this. He said, why is it? He said, I did this for you as a favor to you. Because you are going to kill that camel and feed it to these people. They need food. It doesn't matter whether it comes from the best animal or the second best animal. Meat is meat. I am trying to do a favor to you to say, keep the best camel because this is good for your herd. It is good for your, it's good for your property. Increases the value of your herd and so on and so forth. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu said, did you not know the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ He said, do you not know the meaning of the ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot reach the level of piety of birr until you give in the path of Allah that which is the most valuable, that which you love the most. The man said, I know the ayah. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari said, then are you doing me a favor or a disfavor? So the man said, I understood. Our problem is we have reduced the Quran to recitation for salat. That's it. We are not concerned about what is it saying, what is the meaning, how do I apply, how do I change my life. All this we are not interested in. Too much trouble. recitation for Sawab, and some of us don't even bother to do that. We just stand behind the Imam in Taraweeh and that's enough for us. My brothers and sisters, the purpose of the seerah is to understand how the Sahaba approached the Quran, how Rasulullah ﷺ lived his life, what he taught us, how he taught us, and to apply that in our lives. I want to end by the story, end meaning this first section, next Jumu'ah, inshallah. The advice that Rasulullah ﷺ gave to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu when he sent him to Yemen as his representative to present Islam to the people. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported when Rasulullah ﷺ sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he said to him, "Verily, you are going to a people among the people of the book. So call them to testify that there is no God but Allah, La ilaha illallah, and that I am the messenger of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And if they accept that, then teach them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated 5 salawat in each day and night. If they accept that, then teach them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated charity, which is zakat, to be taken from their rich and given to their poor." Yeah, he didn't say take it from their rich and send it to Madina, no. Taken from their rich and given to their poor. If they accept that, beware. Do not take from the best of their wealth. Something which they like, which they love, don't take that. Take from them, but don't take the best of their wealth. Be on guard from the dua of the oppressed, for there is no barrier between it and Allah. And this is the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Muttafaqun Alayh. My brothers and sisters, in all societies, only a few are wealthy, while the vast majority are poor, and often they are oppressed or ignored. When Islam came, the wealthy started to look for people to give charity to. This addressed the disparity in wealth distribution and income and enabled the poor to have a better standard of living. Works of public benefit like hospitals, schools, roads, wells and shelters were all built by the wealthy to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. This charity also improved relations between the rich and the poor and increased appreciation for Islam, because the beneficiaries could see that that was the reason why those who were previously uncaring about them became concerned and helpful. As I said, since the poor are the majority in society, Islam gained much popularity because the way to people's hearts is through their bellies. Islam came right from the beginning as a force of social change and addressed the inequities of society, whether it was exploitation of women, female infanticide, cruelty towards slaves, poverty, vice addiction, and oppression of all kinds. Islam prohibited all of them. Muslims were told that it was not enough to simply stand by and watch the fun. They were encouraged and ordered to get involved and stick their necks out and bring about change. Charity is one way in which this is to be done, because compassion is the best basis for a society. My brothers and sisters, we will continue with this inshallah next Jumu'ah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming here and to accept your ibadat and to be pleased with you and accept all your du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to obey Him completely and totally in every respect, and to stop living our lives as if we will not die. Because one day we will die. And we ask Allah to make that the best day of our lives, when we will meet Him, and that day should be a day when Allah will be pleased with us, inshallah, and that He will, without questioning, without reckoning, He will, inshallah, al-mustan, award us Jannah, Firdaus ul-Ala bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.